today's message is entitled Made to Know More. Made to Know More. All right? And so today's text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And for the sake of time, I'm going to read beginning in verse 14, and we'll read down through verse number 16. If you're a guest, the notes are in your bulletin. You can follow there. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the wonderful time we've already had singing and giving and hearing praise and testimony for what you have done. We thank you for Kim and her testimony, and we just ask that many more would be saved as they turn to you for their hope. Bless our service as we learn that we are made for more. And when the devil tells us we're done, you have a message that we've just begun. And help us to hear that and help us to learn. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, when the Lord saved us, he had a wonderful plan for our lives, and he knew that we were made for more. And in fact, sometimes as I consider back when I was saved, I think about the things that I knew, and then I think about the things I did not know at the time. For example, when I got saved, I knew I was a sinner. I knew that Jesus Christ was the Savior. And I knew that I did not want to go to hell, and I wanted to go to heaven. So I, as a sinner, asked Jesus to be my Savior. I turned only to him, asking him to be my Savior. He forgave my sin, and I'm on my way to heaven. And how many of you would say, if all we ever got was forgiveness and a home in heaven, that's a great thing. Amen? How many of you are with me? That's what I knew. But the longer I'm saved, the more I realize that when I was saved, the Spirit of God came into my life, and he sealed my life, and he sanctified my life, and that the Holy Spirit also gives me wisdom and direction. And simply stating it, the longer I'm saved, the gooder and gooder it gets, because I learn more and more about what all God did on the day that I was saved. And one of the things that we learn concerning our salvation is that because of the Bible and because of the Holy Spirit, not only are we made for more, but we are made to know more. God has a desire that we would know and discern more in this life. Now, don't misunderstand me. Salvation does not guarantee that you have an immediately higher IQ or an immediate intellect in a certain area. I don't want any high schoolers to start thinking, oh, I have the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't have to study for my calculus test. That's not what we're talking about this morning. When we say that we have discernment and knowledge, we are speaking about the spirit of understanding that comes from God's Holy Spirit into our life, that we are enabled to gain and understand spiritual truth and apply it to our lives. Now, where do we begin with that? Where does that doctrine of God's imparted knowledge to us come from? And it comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when you go back to John 14, Jesus said in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him." Listen to this. "For he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you." In other words, Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm going to go to heaven," John 14. "I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He's going to come and indwell your life. He's going to be, John 16, your guide. He will guide you into the truth. He will help you to know much more." Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you alone, but I'm going to send the Comforter, and he's going to help you know more and guide you along the way." And so this morning I want you to learn with me about God's desire for us to know more. Notice, if you would, first of all, that there is instruction to the saved man. I want you to see the instruction that is given to the saved man, the man that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 tells us, "But God hath revealed them," speaking of the truths of God, "God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the instruction that we receive is from the teacher. It is from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. The Bible says in verse number 10, but God hath revealed them. The word revealed means to uncover. So the man without Jesus reads the Bible, and the Bible tells him that Jesus is the only way and the only truth. And without Jesus, he cannot understand. But when he receives Jesus, it is uncovered. And he begins to see, he begins to understand what God has for him. It is the Spirit of God that gives that revelation. And by the way, as Christians, when the Holy Spirit is speaking, we ought to listen. We ought to listen to His Word. This past summer, we had some time with each of our children and our eight grandchildren. And Matthew came to see us, and he brought his children, and he put his daughter Livia down for a nap, and little Livia was in the other room. And Matt said, Dad, let me show you something that you didn't have when I was a kid. And he pulled out a device, I think it might have been his iPhone, and he said, look it right there, I can watch Liv while she's in the other room. There's a camera attached to the crib, and I can watch her and just make sure she's okay. And I thought, wow, that's cool. In fact, I was thinking, I wish I could have had a camera implanted on Matt when he was a kid, but I don't know that that would have really worked out. They put it on the bed, you know, and they were watching him. And Liv was not taking a nap. She was playing and throwing stuff out of the crib, doing all that kind of stuff. And he said, Dad, now, if you want to have fun, you can also touch this button, and you can talk to her. And you can tell her stuff. So I said, all right, give it to me. So I pressed the button. I said, Liv, this is Papa. Go to bed. Oh, she was looking like this. You know, she's put her head down. She's looking all around like this, trying to figure out who said that to her. She heard Papa's voice. And the Holy Spirit of God does not necessarily speak with an audible voice, but He will speak into your heart. Conviction, guidance. He will guide you into the truth. He will guide you away from error. He will guide you to the right friends. He will guide you away from the wrong friends. He brought you to church this morning. The Spirit of God will guide you into the truth, and He will reveal the truth to the child of God. It is what we often refer to as illumination, or giving you understanding. Notice the Bible says in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, two men might say, boy, I've got a headache and my wife is upset, and they might understand one another as men. But who can know God unless God teaches us about God? And the Bible tells us here in verse number 11, so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, if we're going to know the things of God, it's only going to happen by the Holy Spirit of God being the teacher and guiding us and helping us and illuminating our understanding. We use the term inspiration. That is to say, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We mean by that, it is an infallible, God-breathed book. And here at Lancaster Baptist, we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. But we also believe that as Christians, we must have the illumination of the Holy Spirit as we read the Bible. We must have His guidance. We must have His help in understanding the Word of God. And so this instruction comes from the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it comes for our knowledge. The Bible says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Remember I said, when you are truly saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us from God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So God says here to each and every one of us in verse 12 that we might know these things, that we might perceive them with our eyes. God says, I want you to have knowledge about me. I want you to have knowledge about my word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 in verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Do you see that in your notes? Psalm 119 verse 18. Let's read that together. Ready? Begin. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You see, God has given his written word, but we must have the illumination. We must have the leading of his Spirit to have our eyes open to the word of God. And so the purpose of this knowledge is that we might have an understanding of his word. And then the priority of the knowledge. Notice in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. The word teacheth, of course, is that which God has given to us in his word and by his Spirit. And we're to compare spiritual to spiritual. And so we thank God for the priority of his knowledge. And this is the instruction that he gives to a saved man. He says, I'm going to give you guidance and wisdom. But notice not only the instruction that is given to the saved man, but I want you to notice, secondly, the rejection of the lost man. The rejection of the lost man. Now, it's very clear in verses 9 through 13. It's very clear in those verses that God has wisdom and that God has instruction for the saved man, and that by his Spirit, he's going to illuminate to us the truth. And how many of you are thankful for the presence of God's Spirit in your life right now this morning? And he leads you and he guides you. You may not always listen, but he's always trying to lead you. But look at what verse 14 says. But, so to the spiritual man, verse 13, wisdom is speaking. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So the natural man, or the unsaved man, in the term spiritual man, speaks of the saved man that's born again, that man that has the Holy Spirit. The natural man, speaking of the unsaved man, the man that has rejected Christ. The natural man, first of all, he does not receive. He doesn't receive Jesus. He doesn't receive the Word of God. And the Bible speaks of him as the natural man, meaning he's governed by his own sensual direction, not by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, all of us have an Adamic nature. All of us live in what one friend of mine refers to as his earth suit. We all have a carnal Adamic nature. The difference is when we accepted Christ, we were born again, and we now have a new nature in Jesus Christ. We can now live through Christ in us. How many of you are glad that you're not just the old man today, but there's a new nature in your heart today? And your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you. And so the natural man who has rejected, the unsaved man may intellectually know there is a God, he knows about religion, but he has rejected that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And he is a man that will not hearken unto the voice of God. The unsaved man thinks that the truth of God is really kind of foolish. In fact, notice that in verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Listen, we're over here as saved people, and if I preach to you, we're all sinners. Jesus, the Son of God, came, lived a perfectly sinless life, and died on the cross for our sins, and Jesus shed his blood, and he rose up again the third day. I got to tell you something, if you're saved, you ought to never get over that. That's exciting news, amen. But somebody that's not saved, they think, what are they sitting in that church listening to that guy holler about? You know? There's lots of religions. Matter of fact, that's kind of dumb. In fact, I have a friend that goes to the Baptist church even on Sunday night. I mean, they even give money over there. How dumb. And all that preaching all the time. That preacher always preaching about Jesus all the time. You see, to the natural man, what we're doing right now is dumb. Now, going to Vegas, losing all your money, getting a hangover, that's smart. But learning about Jesus, how dumb can you get? And you see, a lot of things we see on television and in our society today, we might think it's, you know, two political clashing parties or two groups of people. Often behind all of that, there's some spiritual warfare going on. There's things that we understand and have a worldview about because we know the mind of God. And what I want you to recognize is that some of the things that we see and we recognize as Christians, that is weird. It's because the Holy Spirit of God has borne witness with our spirit that sin is wrong and that direction is a wrong direction. But to the unsafe man, they just think it's normal. I read this past week in the Wall Street Journal that on Tuesday, when the Pope comes to America, and with all due respect in the right sense, I got to tell you something. This is the weirdest Pope I've ever seen. This is a Pope that says you can be a real devout atheist and still go to heaven. This is a Pope that believes evolution's okay. That's kind of weird stuff, even for the Catholic Church. But he's coming to meet our president. It's getting weirder now. And the president, in his welcoming group, you can read it, Wall Street Journal, Thursday's edition. In the welcome group that the president chose for the Pope, the welcome group includes, let me get my notes right, the first openly gay Episcopal bishop, a pro-abortion activist, two pro-euthanasia activist nuns, multiple transgenders. Might as well put a flag out and say, welcome to our wacky world. You say, well, Pastor, why do you think that's strange? Because the Holy Spirit has given us a Bible, and the Bible teaches us salvation is not through the church, it's through Jesus Christ. Salvation is not through the Pope, it's through Jesus Christ. Marriage is not between a man and a man, it's to be married, a man and a woman. And this whole idea of euthanasia, this whole idea of transgender, all of it is anti-Bible, and when supposed Christians are getting together, it is an evidence of the fact they don't know the Lord any more than the man in the moon. And the reason it looks strange is because from a Christian point of view, a biblical point of view, it is strange. But you know what? The fact is that that world, that natural world over there, thinks that because we stay by the Bible, we're kind of foolish. Different world views from the natural and the spiritual. You see, the natural man does not receive what the Bible has to say. Secondly, he can't even understand it. He can't even understand it. Look at verse 14. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Notice this phrase, neither can he know them. The word can means the ability. He does not have the ability to know them. And it's something that is just out of his realm of understanding. He misinterprets it. He takes a passage here and there that sounds like good philosophy. He doesn't mind love your neighbor, but he hates the idea there is none other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. He wants to pick and choose, but he doesn't take the whole message of God. And so oftentimes, confusion comes in that way. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, they cannot understand those things which, notice verse 14, are spiritually discerned. You see, God has made us to know more. Not that we're proud. Not that we say, oh, we're so much smarter than this one or that one. Not that we should go around arguing the finer points. Not that we're going to win someone to Christ by saying we're smarter. The fact is today, it's not about knowing more facts or arguing the point. It is simply to state that in your spirit, the Holy Spirit is going to give you an instruction and he's going to give you guidance that is often rejected by the world. And we ought to have a loving spirit. I probably pray for our president more than anybody in this room. And we ought to pray for folks that are involved in different lifestyles and different religions. But we don't have to believe what they're teaching. And we must stay by the truth of the Word of God as the Holy Spirit guides us and as the Holy Spirit directs us. And so we see that there is instruction to the saved man. There is rejection by the lost man. You wonder, why don't these people get along? Because one has a father, the devil, and one has the father, God, and they have completely different views, completely different levels of understanding based upon the fact that when you were saved, the Holy Spirit came into you, and the Holy Spirit will not let a truly saved person completely deny God the rest of their life. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he's our guide. Are you with me so far? All right, and so, very simple, there's instruction to the saved man, verses 10 through 13. God says, I've revealed my word to you. I'm teaching you so that you can compare and know and make right decisions. But the unsaved man, he rejects all of it. The unsaved man thinks this is ridiculous. We sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand. They sing, I'll stand wherever I want to stand. We teach that Jesus Christ is the only way. The humanist teaches you can go however you way, because however way you want, man is his own God. And we teach that there's one God. And the natural man teaches there's many gods in many different ways. And they think it's foolishness. And so you have the rejection of the lost man. But notice finally this morning, the discretion of the spiritual man. Now, notice in verse 15. But he that is spiritual, that's talking about whom, class? The saved. Help me out. He that is spiritual, talking about whom? The saved. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Now, God says, I want you to have discernment or discretion. Letter A, he considers with discernment. The spiritual man or the saved man judges all things. Now, that again does not mean a judgmental attitude. It doesn't mean you go and castigate someone who has a different religion or viewpoint. The word judgeth, though, means that you discern, you investigate, and you examine. And you have a worldview that's scripturally based. And you are careful with the decisions that you make. And you are walking in the Spirit and watching the Word of God and following what God says. And you say, look it, I'm not going to believe what that guy says just because he says he's a preacher. And I'm not going to follow that guy just because we went to the same college or because of some similar background. Truth is truth, and I'm going to follow the truth of God. And this is what God has called me to do. Now, can I share a verse with you that really helped me in this area? All right. I'm glad you gave me permission. I was going to do it anyways, but I want to get you awake there, all right? Philippians chapter 1, it's in your notes, okay? Now watch this. It says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Now let's stop right there. Now everybody would say that, saved and unsaved. Yes, what the world needs now is love. Whatever it is, more love. Some of you can tell me later. You say, yes, we need more love. I heard the Beatles sing it. Some of us need to move from the Beatles to the Bible. And here's why. The Bible does say, let your love abound, but look at the next two words. With more in knowledge and in all judgment. So God says, I want you to have a loving heart, but I want it to be bound by knowledge and judgment. I want you to have discernment to make the right decisions. I want you to consider things differently. So one girl comes home and she says, Daddy, I met a boy at the park. I want you to meet him. And this boy's got chains coming off this earring, and they're meeting in his nose, and they're coming down here, and they're tied to the bottom of his chin, and he's got 666 on his forehead, whatever. You can imagine the guy. And she says, Daddy's the most wonderful guy, and he just been so nice to me, and his parole officer says he's doing way better this time. And I told him I'm a Christian, and he said he'll get to be a Christian too. And another girl perhaps has some guy that's trying to get to know her and isn't saved, doesn't go to church, kind of a party type. And in her spirit, she just senses, you know what? Not only is that not the kind of guy Dad doesn't want to meet, I don't want to meet him. Because the Holy Spirit is working in her heart, right? Now, one girl, in the natural way of thinking, is making a set of decisions that she thinks are okay. Another young lady, because the Holy Spirit's in her heart, she knows. She's got some sense. She's got some guidance along the way. And that's one silly illustration. But how many of you know, every day of our lives, we have to make decisions. And we need the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds so that we make the right decisions. And we need to judge. And we don't just say, oh, pastor, don't be so judgmental. That guy's probably a great guy. He probably is. He probably needs to get saved. But he probably doesn't need to be dating anyone till after he gets saved. All the daddies of little girls said. Thank you very much. Then look at the next verse, verse 10. That ye may approve things that are what? Say it with me. That ye may approve things that are. So God does want us to discern. God does want us to judge. Is that not what it says? Notice what it says. He that is spiritual, verse number 15, judgeth all things. So someone that says, judge not, lest you be judged, they don't comprehend the context of the Scripture. We're not to have a judgmental attitude. I grant you that. I'm sickened by it. We don't need a bunch of Pharisaicalism. But we do need to discern and to judge right and wrong. And the Holy Spirit can help you with that as a spiritual man, as a spiritual woman, through the Word of God, making right decisions. And the Holy Spirit helps us to approve things that are excellent. Why? So that we may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. The Holy Spirit teaches me of the excellency of the gospel. The Holy Spirit teaches me that God has a plan for salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. The Holy Spirit gives me warnings in the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. The world mocks the coming day of the Lord. The world makes movies that make fun of rapture and disappearance and desensitizing of people. But as Christians, we do believe that Jesus is coming again. And we recognize we're not of this world. We've been saved from the darkness of this world. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I am to be walking in the light. And there is darkness and there is light. And a born-again believer is to walk in the light. And we understand the fact of creation. And we believe it by the Holy Spirit. It's leading. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and 5, for this, speaking of the unsaved, they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. In other words, when someone wants to disbelieve God, they are willingly ignorant and they'll choose to anything. Hey, it's not that the Big Bang theory makes so much sense. It's not that evolution is truly scientifically proven. It's that the people in the natural realm don't want to believe by faith what God has given in the spiritual realm. But when you get saved and the Holy Spirit of God is guiding you, He begins to unlock truth and give you guidance along the way. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says it this way, prove all things. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God, because there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. What I'm trying to say this morning is you were made for more, yes, but you were made to know more. And God said, I've given you my spirit, and you don't need to walk around every religion, every decision, every way that you go. Just whatever you think. You now have the Holy Spirit to guide you into the right decisions and that you might please the Lord Jesus Christ. Try the spirits. Try the spirit of every religious teacher. Scrutinize the spirit of false teachers. And folks, I want you to recognize in these last days, there will be more and more false Christs and false teachers. And ultimately, there will be an antichrist. Listen, it won't surprise me if many leaders of world religions, including the Pope, endorse the antichrist. Do you understand? We had better be judging and discerning all things by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. You say, that sounds bizarre. Okay, back to the Bible. Look in your notes. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Hey, do you think the Antichrist is going to come and say, I want you to know I'm against Christ. I want you to know I don't believe anything you believe. Follow me. That's not what he's going to say. He's going to be very religious. He'll be endorsed by religion. He'll be very intellectual. And it will be only those that are following the Word of God and the discerning judgment of the Spirit of God who know who to follow and who not to follow. And the Bible tells us here that even false prophets can transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. In other words, God's Word says, hey, use some discernment, because someone can fake that they're an apostle. They can fake that they're a preacher. You better judge what they're saying by the Word of God. And anyone that says there's many ways to heaven and Jesus is not the Son of God, that ought to be a surefire clue to the spiritual man. I'm not following that guy. Look at all this whole crowd of the One World Church and the Transvestite Church and all the rest of it. They might follow that guy. As for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. See, that's what discernment does. God will give it to you. As you seek His Word, you will consider all things. This man with discernment considers all things. Secondly, his confidence is in the Lord. His confidence is in the Lord. Now, back to verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Notice, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, the unsaved man is confused. The phrase there, no man, refers to the unsaved. And he cannot judge the saved man. And if you want an interpretation on this, verse 15, yet he himself is judged of no man. What it means is that the spiritual man is not understood by the unsaved man. He can't judge the unsaved man. He doesn't know about the unsaved man. Why? Because those that are after the flesh mind fleshly things. You want to talk about Vegas? You want to talk about football? You want to talk about whatever? He's right there with you. You want to talk about what this verse means? He can't get there with you. He doesn't understand it. He can't apply it to his life. He can mock it. He can persecute someone, but he can't understand it. The unsaved man's confused about spiritual things, but the saved man can have the mind of Christ on a matter. You can know God's mind on a matter. Look at what it says, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The saved man can know God's will, the mind of Christ, in a matter. This comes from the indwelling Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into truth. He's going to keep you away from error. Listen, the Holy Spirit brought you to church this morning. Listen, if you're going to pass out one of these restart brochures, it's going to be the Holy Spirit reminds you and gives you the will. The devil doesn't want the gospel going out. Listen, if you pray with your children, you get back to the house of God next week. If you live a godly and a moral life, it's because the Spirit is leading you. Hey, the flesh and the devil, they'll lead you every other way. But the Spirit of God will lead you to glorify Jesus Christ. He'll produce a spiritual mind in you. 2 Peter 1 refers to it after a life after life and godliness. And so God will provide spiritual understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You need wisdom in a matter for your teenager? God has it for you. Need wisdom in a matter for your finances? God has it for you. Need wisdom in a matter for marriage? God has it for you in His Word by His Spirit. Are you in the Word? Are you yielding to His Spirit? Are you walking as a spiritual man? God wants to provoke you to spiritual action. So the instruction to a saved man is available. The natural man says, no way, I'm going to go to this party. I want to do what I want to do. But the spiritual man has discernment and discretion because of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question. Is God directing and leading in your life? You say, well, I'm spiritual in the sense that I'm saved. And also, are you spiritual in the sense that you're judging and discerning and that your love is bounded by knowledge and wisdom? Are you careful with where you go, with who you're hanging out? Are you careful with your entertainment? Are you careful in this life to honor God in the way that you're living? Loving, but bounded by knowledge and discretion. And maybe there's someone here today and you say, well, I don't even know that God's Spirit is in my life. I think I'm a natural man. I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand so many things. And I don't think it's wrong to go out and party and just do all that stuff. That's what I do. Wait a minute. Could it be that God wants to save your soul like He did Kim Fook 30 years ago or more? God is still looking today for people in their natural sinful state who will turn to Him and say, Lord, I tried every religion. I tried all these gods. I thought all this stuff was okay, but you're convicting me that I need you and you alone to save me. And the Bible says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.